Friends, welcome. In this unit, we are thinking about intersex people and the family of God. And in the last video, we came to a better understanding a little bit of intersex people and disorders of sex development and what that looks like in the lives of some folks. And so we want to approach this topic with sensitivity, with a recognition of the struggle that many folks have walked through because of walking this path of being intersex or struggling with the DSD. One of the questions we want to raise biblically and theologically is this question. Is intersex a third sex alongside male and female? And this is a question that some folks have raised recently in biblical and theological circles, saying, you know, Scripture talks about Genesis 1:27 says male and female he created them. That in Galatians 3, Paul talks about how we are male and female, part of the body of Christ. And so is this part of the question we're wrestling with here is this question, does or do intersex persons undermine male and female? Is this something where, you know, we need to take account of this data and say, maybe the Bible doesn't really give us a full picture, or does the Bible really address intersex people? Is it trying to exclude them? Is it trying to set them apart, or are they not part of the body? How do we understand these questions? This is a question raised by a scholar named Megan DeFranz in her book that's depicted here, Sex Difference in Christian Theology. And so maybe it's the case, according to her, that intersex people sort of blur the lines. Maybe we can't really even fully talk about male and females being separate or distinct either. And some of these things that we maybe thought were more separate are just more blurred. And so maybe intersex people are third sex, or maybe it just blurs the line completely so that we can't really even talk about male and female anymore. Another question here is, do intersex persons undermine male-female marriage? And so if perhaps it's the case that for some people their biological sex is ambiguous, what do you say to a person like that? Do you say you can't get married? Or if it's difficult to say, if a person is male or female, then what do you say in terms of that person's marriage status? It gets tricky because, as we saw in the previous video, there are some people who, you know, chromosomally, we would say, well, they have male chromosomes, XY, but in terms of their development, things don't happen as they normally do, and so they would present, their external genitalia would appear to be female. And so how do we understand that if we say and reflect on what Scripture teaches about same-sex marriage? You know, how do we even know if that person is male, female? And so does that just complicate all of these things? Well, I think there are some good answers to this. I do think it's important to recognize that even intersex people themselves have largely rejected the idea that intersex is a third sex. And so, for example, last video I mentioned the Intersex Society of North America. On their website, they specifically say, you know, we don't find it helpful to talk about intersex people as a third sex. Well, why is that? Well, partly it's because, as we've seen, there's actually a variety of disorders of sex development. And so to take everybody who would fall into this, you know, under the same umbrella and say they all represent this third sex, it wouldn't really be biologically accurate, and it may not be culturally helpful either. Because, again, as we've seen, there are a number of different ways this could look in a person's biology. And so to say that all of these people are the same biological sex doesn't seem scientifically accurate, and it doesn't seem culturally helpful. Because, as I noted last time, the vast majority of intersex people, actually it's pretty clear whether they are male or female. And there's not too many obstacles in terms of culturally being able to identify with their particular sex, their particular gender. Scripture, I think, also speaks to this in some ways. One verse that is used by DeFranz and some others is Matthew 19. And so I want to look briefly at that verse. It's one we've seen already in this course. In Matthew 19, Jesus is talking about marriage, and he talks about how God's vision for marriage is one man, one woman for life. That the kind of easy divorce that some people were promoting in that culture, Jesus said, that's not what I'm calling you to. I'm calling you to marriage, except in the case of sexual immorality, adultery. And Jesus' disciples in Matthew 19:10 say, wow, if that's how it is, then maybe it's better not to marry. And so Jesus replies in Matthew 19:11, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others. And there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it. Now, it's important to recognize that in this text, Jesus refers to three different types of eunuchs. As I mentioned earlier in this course, a eunuch is essentially someone who's male, but somebody who's been castrated or who's had their external genitalia in effect cut off or damaged. And so when we think about the three types of eunuchs, Jesus says there are eunuchs who were born that way, eunuchs who've been made eunuchs by others, and those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Now, the one that's most interesting for our purposes in this discussion of intersex people is the first, that there are eunuchs who were born that way. In other words, part of what Jesus is acknowledging here is that he's recognizing and affirming that, yeah, there are some, in this case he's referencing men, who are born with some kind of disorder of sex development in the sense that their external genitalia, their ability to function reproductively, is not typical. And so, you know, we have to recognize, I think this helpfully shows us that this is on the map of Jesus, it's in the scope of what Scripture speaks to, that there are some for whom there is this disorder going on. And Jesus doesn't here speak negatively or derogatively toward them or talk about them as sort of less than human. But instead, he helps us understand that this is a category of people. And so how do we connect Genesis 1:27 and Matthew 19:12? In other words, part of what I'm asking here is Genesis 1:27 speaks about male and female. And so it talks about male and female being made in the image of God. Is Matthew 19 saying there's a third category? There's male and female, and then there are eunuchs who are born that way. That's the argument that Megan DeFranza presents, as I mentioned, that intersex should be considered a third sex here. But I think that's not quite accurate, especially when we understand how this term is used and how Jesus uses it here. Jesus is not using it here to undermine the reality of male and female, but he is using it here to recognize that there are those who are born with some differences. Now, he doesn't say this means that these eunuchs are not male, and I think by extension, by implication, you know, he wouldn't say that somebody who may be more typical female, but maybe has a disorder of sex development as well. He's not using it to say that those individuals constitute a third sex, but rather he's saying that there are some who, because they are born a certain way, he says in this context that what this means for them is singleness. Now, I'm not saying, and actually don't think Scripture is saying here that all intersex people are called to singleness, but part of what Jesus is recognizing is that the way that eunuchs did function in his culture largely was that if there was this lack of procreative ability, or if there was a clear effect on the external genitalia, that oftentimes those persons would remain single. But he's not saying here that they are a third sex. That I think it's better theologically to understand that for people who have a disorder of sex development, that they are in some way, shape, or form a blend of male and female. Not that there's something totally other than male and female. That there are still two sexes, and that part of what you see in intersex people is some kind of blend of those, or some kind of, again, disorder where things don't develop quite as they should. But I think that, I think it's actually not helpful, again, by their own testimony for intersex people, to say that intersex constitutes a third sex. Now, it does raise some questions. It does raise some ethical questions, some questions of care and treatment. And so in the next video, we're gonna pick that up. If we say that we want to be sure to affirm that intersex people are made in the image of God, that they are beloved by Jesus, what does it mean to walk with them as the family of God and to provide good care as we walk together trying to put the story of who God is on display for the world around us to see? So we'll pick that up next time and think about good care for intersex people. So until then, blessings.